All right. It's wonderful to be here. It is great to be here, to be a part of just praising God. This morning, go ahead. We have a, just so you know, the clicker that I normally have is malfunctioning. It's not working. So y'all are going to have to do one of two things. You're either going to have to get frustrated that Spencer cannot read my mind and put the words up there as soon as I want them there, or we can overlook the fact that technology has failed us and he's going to do the best he can. Are we not? Okay, there you go. All right, so the thing, if you've noticed on our thing, no, that's not on. I can't help you there. And there we go. All right. If you notice the sign, it says, "He is still risen." You know, last week we talked about Easter, and everything was decorated, and everything was cleaned up, and we had the grounds, the weeds all pulled, and Craig had his guys out here, and they freshened up the mulch, and that was we had a deadline to get that done because Easter was coming. And man, everybody drove in and they're like, my goodness, the grounds look wonderful. And, we got banners out, we got coffee and cones and parking attendants and all those great implementations and the changes that we're making going forward and just having this culture of growth and all these things. And it was, the deadline was Easter and I was up here, spending my spare time and so was Sharon Davis. Working on that beautiful picture that we had back here that we drew and because we're celebrating Easter and that was a great day, and we had 166 or 68 some odd people that were here to worship, and then the preschool moved my picture. Did y'all believe that? Preschool came up in here on Tuesday, and remember, and now Jesus is in the back of the room with a podium in front of him, just chilling. The preschool moved my picture. You know how long it took us to make that? And you know why the preschool moved it? Because they needed to. Because guess what? Because life goes on. Because what happens is that we, in our culture, especially with constricted and caged up and institutionalized religion, what we have a tendency to do is we will focus on the event or the celebration or the special occasion, and we'll make a big deal about it, and we'll draw pictures, and we'll hang banners, and we'll have flowers, and we'll go out to lunch, and we'll do all of these things. And then the very next day, it's as if it had never happened. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, that Jesus has still risen from the dead, and he is still alive, looking for someone's heart to change. Whether or not we've got sashes or paintings or any of that, Jesus is still alive. The tomb is still empty. The church needs to live like it. And it's not special occasions. It's not celebrate. Oh, those are great. I mean, those are great. You know, Al made a point to mention that today's my birthday, and I woke up this morning, and as many of you, I literally had forgotten that it was. I mean, you know, you get to the age where you just really would rather not know, but today we'll celebrate. The kids brought me presents, and it was awesome, and everybody was excited about it, and today we're going to go out to lunch, and I'm going to get to pick, and I will pick, and everyone will hate it, but that's okay because it's my birthday. But guess what? Yesterday wasn't my birthday, but I was still alive. I'd still been born. Tomorrow's not going to be, but guess what? Lord willing, I will still be alive. I'll still have life to live. This morning, I want to talk about the fact that he is still risen. You know that picture that we did? What we did that on, that's just a the painter's drop cloth. I mean, we go to Lowe's and Dwayne built those. He built us, what, eight of those 4x8 canvases. on 2x6s. And we just got cheap painter's drop cloth, brown painter's drop cloth, and stapled them up there and painted them white. And that's our VBS backdrops. Those are that we got it. So every year we're going to paint. Remember the beach scene from last year? Well, it's out on the back porch. And this year we're going to paint white over all that. We're going to paint Babylon on there and put it up here. And that's one of those panels. And I was just going to, you know, everybody, what are you going to do? I was going to paint over it. What are you doing with that picture? Well, I was going to paint over it because we need the room for the. I know. Eyes are, what? Paint over it? What are you doing? You can't paint over that. Hey, well, I'll make another one. We'll make another one. We probably won't because of the uproar. Everybody, okay, all right, we won't paint over it. But the fact is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, church, if we have a picture of Jesus on our wall, if we don't have the man living in our hearts. Paint over it. I mean, just paint over it. Take that which is, you know, a great, you know, that I can't take credit for that. God, for some reason, just said, you know what, Shane, you're going to be born and you're going to be able to draw. I can't take credit for that. You know, he said, Jeff, you're going to be able to sing. You know, this is what he does. That he gives us these gifts, and so, but paint over it if he's not in our heart. It's meaningless. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. Because immediately following Easter, we still have life to live. Immediately following the resurrection, you see, if we've read through this, and the excitement is they get to the tomb, and it's still empty. The tomb is, you know, they get there, it's empty, they're confused, they're excited, they're confused about why they're excited, and they just, you know, they go here and there, and they're talking about, and they're asking questions, and the fact is that they start running into people. You ever notice those who went to the tomb, they started bumping into people and talking to them and having conversations, and they really didn't understand who they were, who those people were, or why they were there. But all they know is that they kept bumping into folks. And because, see, the resurrection of Christ is all about everyday life. And isn't that what we do? We just run into people in everyday life. We just, you know, we go expecting one thing and we bump into this guy. Mary gets to the tomb and she runs into who she believes to be the gardener. And then there's two guys that on the way to Emmaus, they run into this guy that they think is just a traveler, but they just bump into people and start talking to them and having conversations, and because Jesus is raised from the dead and it's everyday life keeps happening. And we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, that, you know, the resurrection, everyday life with Jesus was just getting started. I mean, everyday life. You know, they had this big ministry with him, and, you know, they celebrated all of the days. I mean, they celebrated Christmas. They didn't know it was Christmas. They didn't call it that, but they celebrated it because he was born. And then they, you know, they celebrated all the days that we celebrate. And then, you know, which you think about it are two, beginning and the end, or the beginning and then the other beginning. So they celebrated the days, and then they had Easter, and then, you know, everyday life was getting started. Isn't that what Luke tells us in Acts? He says, my former book, Theophilus. What did he say? Come on, Jake. What did he say? What's Luke chapter 1, verse 1? In my former book, Theophilus. We didn't even practice that. Say it when we'll come up here. Say it into this mic right here. I learned this from Jeff Banks last night. Come here. Come here. All right, in my former book, Theophilus, what?
We talked about what Jesus began to do.
And
teach.
All right, good job. We've talked about that for like a long time in the teen class in the book of Acts. That Luke says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you. Remember Luke's gospel? The gospel of Luke is the life of Christ. And he says, I wrote to you about what Jesus began to do and teach. It implies that we continue his ministry in everyday life. You know, he writes that after Jesus is dead. So the ministry of Christ, the everyday life with Christ was just getting started. So after Easter, I want to ask us some questions. We're going to look at some episodes that happened. But immediately after Easter, I want us to know, you see, or to ask ourselves the question here on the first day of the week, Luke 24, verse 1. We read this last week. We read it this week. Very in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. Immediately after Easter, do we still look for Jesus? Do we find ourselves going back and going back and going back, looking for Jesus? Now, we don't have a tomb. Now, bear with me. We don't have a tomb to go to. We don't have a place where we can go and say, this is the tomb of Jesus. But hear the metaphor. I'm going to talk about metaphors a lot this morning because it's a metaphor for our experience with Christ or our heart. Do we ever, early in the morning, in the afternoon, late at night, do we ever just say, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find Jesus? No. We don't. We do? I mean, I can't answer that question. I'm going to find where the body of Christ is. And not just the church, it's not just on a Sunday, not just where we get together and just, you know, do our thing on Sunday mornings or you know, because we know where to find the body, but I'm just going to go out and I'm going to find God and serve God. I'm going to, you know, I've prepared these spices, whatever that metaphor is. I've prepared something, the gift that I'm going to give. Think about Matthew 24. He says, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, have you done it unto me? I'm going to go. I'm going to find the homeless, the hurting, the hungry, the thirsty, the lonely, the broken, the sinners, the saints. I'm going to find those people. I'm going to find Jesus in them, and I'm going to serve because I prepared something. Do we look for Jesus? Do we wake up with the expectation to go where Jesus will be? Would we know if we didn't find it? I mean, she knew. She got there and he's not there. So you know what she didn't do? She didn't take those spices, take that gift that she had prepared and sprinkle it on the, I mean, because the cloth was folded neatly where he was, the grave clothes were empty. She didn't sprinkle it on where she thought he would be. Because he wasn't there. Would we even know if he wasn't there? Or would we keep looking? Would we keep looking? Would we keep looking? Would we, you know, is it enough? Is the life of Christ, is the resurrection of Christ, which tells me that if he's not in the grave, then he's obviously alive. And does the life of Christ compel me? Does it inspire me to keep looking for him, my Messiah, my Savior? Keep looking for my Lord in other people, in my own life until I find him. You know, one of the things that I love about the talk about spirituality yesterday was the fact that it's this journey that we're on, you know, you know, one of the things about finding the Jesus in us, finding the places where God is really on the throne in our lives. And we know there's those places where he's on the throne, and then there's those places where he's not, you know, and we're always trying to dethrone ourselves and put him on the throne in those places where he's not. And the importance is find the places where he's reigning in our life and start there. Start building on that spirituality. So the question, do we look for Jesus? Do we go? Do we prepare? Do we wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to find Jesus and I'm going to serve him today? The next thing, do we look at Jesus? You know, here's the, as we go on, we go down and it says, when they came back from the tomb, you know, we can talk about the interaction that Mary had with Jesus. But I want to look at this on the road to Emmaus, this 13 and on. On that same day, the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. So they're having this religious conversation. I mean, they're talking about Jesus and talking about, you know, and I love that. Those of you who teach or you're in school or teach the teens, this is a lot of things happen in the class or, you know, or even adults, really. I mean, adults, we're almost worse than the kids are about this. You ever been sitting in a class and and you just find yourself having a conversation with the person next to you. The teacher's up there just doing their thing, talking, and we're talking right here. And then the teacher calls on you. I mean, the adult teachers, we don't call on each other because, you know, as a, that would be rude of me to call another adult down for talking in class. That would be rude, right? I'd get in trouble. But we'd call on the teens and we'd say, what do we do? Hey, pay attention. You know what they tell me a lot? Well, we're talking about this. We're talking about God. You know, because something you'll say will spur on another. Oh, and then, you know, and then, and we're talking. I mean, we're having a spiritual conversation here. And that's what, and that's what's going on. They're having a spiritual conversation, but, you know, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them, along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Don't know why, don't know how, not important for us. Not important for us right now. The metaphor is they saw him, but they didn't see him. He asked them, what are you discussing together? And they said, have you been under a rock? Have you been under her? I mean, that's what they asked him. They said, well, we've been talking about these things. What things? He asked, well, hello. The biggest thing is like somebody, you know, it's like, you know, 3 days, the 2 days after 9/11, you're walking around New York and somebody comes up to you, you know, a fireman comes up and says, hey, what are you talking about? Well, we've been talking about everything that's going on. What's going on? What? I mean, that's the magnitude of this. So they kept on talking. They kept on walking. They never saw him. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus should bring clarity. It should, you know, the expectation of finding him. Do we wake up? Remember one point ago, do we wake up with the expectation to go where Jesus will be? Well, do we go through life with the expectation of seeing him? Not just talking about him. Not just, you know, having some vague assumption of the God, you know, nebulously working in our life, but do we have the expectation of seeing him? Do we look at him? When we get into that situation where we're going to be with the body of Christ, when we're going to serve, when we're having that Matthew 24 moment, and that we see a starving, hungry, lonely, sinful, broken, anything kind of person, you know, the traveler on the side of the road who's been beaten and robbed, and you know, and but here we are, these Samaritans that aren't really gonna, you know, when we see Jesus, do we look at him and recognize him? Or does our religious conversation keep us from seeing Jesus? Do we mistake him for someone else? You know, in that at Matthew 24 that I keep referring to. There it is. Matthew 24, you know, I keep referring to that. You remember that passage? You know, it says that on that day, you know, say, you know, goats over here, lambs over here, you know, the people that away from me, I never knew you, people that, hey, I knew you. So, well, what? So, well, when I was alone, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you comforted me. And a lot of times, I love that when I was in prison, because you know what that, you know what that means? That means when I was in prison, you know, that means that when I was incarcerated, and you know what we say? It says, well, you know, yeah, because they were persecuted. No. You know, we think about Paul, and he was incarcerated for spreading the gospel. Well, guys, that hadn't happened yet. Jesus is saying, you know what? Criminals need you too. Criminals need you. Broken people, hurting people, people that hurt other people. Do you know why? Do you know why people commit violent crimes against other people? Because they are hurt. Now, I'm not excusing it. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that there's something wrong with them. And they need Jesus as much as the person who's being abused does. Because they're broken. You know, ask someone who deals with broken people hurting other broken people. I mean, Roy can tell you the reason that some parents abuse their children is because they are hurting too. Does it make it right? No, but they need Jesus. And I wonder sometimes, do we limit our service because we do not recognize Jesus when He's standing in front of us? Do we limit, say, no, I don't have time for that. I'm not giving my money. I love that phrase. Fred, you are right on this morning when you said, hey, we are just giving back what God has given us. And we stand up here in this very pulpit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and say, God, we're just giving back what's yours. Because on Sundays, it's God's, and Monday through Saturday, it's mine. And I'm not giving my money to that guy who doesn't deserve it. And you know why? Because we don't see Jesus standing in front of us, walking along the road, and He doesn't deserve it. For whatever, insert sin here because he's a this or a that or a she's a those or a thing, or they're hungry or they made bad choices or this. You know, and if I just give it, we don't see Jesus. We don't see Jesus. We don't recognize Him. But after Easter, he's even more alive. Do we lead others to Him? Number three. Every one of these people, whether it was Mary, who thought He was the gardener, and then, oh, it's Jesus, and she grabs on. He says, whoa, hey, not yet. And then she runs back, and what does she do? She tells other people, I saw Him. I saw Jesus. He's alive. He's out of the tomb. What are these people, these two guys from on the road to Emmaus? They said, they're amazed, and they realize who it is, and they urged Him strongly to stay, and they got up and returned, and they said they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen. He appeared to Simon. When the two told what had happened on the way, and now Jesus was recognized by them when He broke bread. They told people. Without exception, those who saw Jesus told others about, I'm not getting slangy there, it's just they told others about their Jesus experience. They told others about their Jesus experience. And my question is, do we lead others? Do we look for, do we look at, and do we lead others to the same thing? Are we willing to say, I experienced Jesus. Come here, let me show you what that's like. But see, a lot of times we're afraid. Are we afraid of rejection? I mean, what would it look like for you to go and tell people at work or tell people in your home or tell people in your family, tell people about the God experience that you had this weekend or the God experience that you had at work or at home or whatever? Would they, that doesn't happen. Would you have to explain it? Are you afraid of not really believing it yourself? Or are you afraid of doubt, the doubt of others, the doubt within you? Are you afraid of the ridicule that comes along with talking about the craziness of a guy that we all saw dead hanging on a tree, and you're trying to tell me that he all walked halfway to Emmaus with you? You're out of your mind. God doesn't show up like that anymore. God doesn't miraculously heal people anymore. God doesn't speak directly to people in an audible voice anymore. God doesn't just cover the ground with manna anymore. God doesn't do that sort of thing. Are we afraid of the ridicule because of all of our lives we've been told what God does and what He doesn't do, what He did and what He stopped doing? Are we afraid of standing up and saying, I don't know what you're talking about because I walked with Jesus today? Or do we lack significant Jesus experiences? I hope it's not the last one. I hope that we don't choose not to lead others to Him because we really don't have anything to lead them to. But you see the thing about it, and I told the teens this morning, they're our greatest asset. Because this right here, and I didn't plan on this, but this right here, these... That's just pitiful. This is pretty. See, this is one way to experience Jesus right here. Try not eating for 30 hours for no good reason. For no good reason. I mean, no good reason that we... I mean, because that's for other people. That's not for us. I mean, just deciding, you know what, because there's inequity in the world, because there's a lack of justice in the world, because I am full to the point of having to change, I've got to get on elastic waistband pants because I'm so full, and there are people who will die today because they haven't eaten. And so to feel their pain and to raise awareness and to make me more like able to see and experience Jesus, I'm going to choose not to eat for 30 hours and I'm going to raise money for that as that example. That's experiencing Jesus, and they have that, and maybe the rest of us lack that. See, that's a Jesus experience sitting right there that, you know, it's hard to fake that stuff. You can't say Jesus, you know, oh man, I was hanging out in my air-conditioned house and just chilling and, you know, watching TV, and I had a great Jesus moment right there. I mean, to experience Jesus, you got to look for Him. You got to recognize, you got to get out and be out in the world where Jesus lives. Be out there where Jesus is walking around, where Jesus is hungry and He's thirsty. He's imprisoned for things He didn't do and for things that He did do. Because as much as we have served the least of these, we're serving Him. We've got to get out there, out of the tombs. Because you know what they didn't do? They didn't go back to the tomb every day. And did He show them back here yet? No. But Jesus called the Pharisees, the religious leaders, your whitewashed tombs. This week, let's have some significant Jesus experiences. Let's wake up in the morning with the expectation of looking for Him. Let's go through life with the expectation of experiencing Him. And let's find others and inspire them with what has happened to us. Because we saw, we walked with, we talked to, and we served the body of Christ. Whatever your need is this morning. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to be righted with Him, if you're just inspired and you want prayers, if you just want to say, like David said yesterday, God, use me however you want to use me. Whatever your need is this morning, would you come forward and talk to me as together we stand and as we sing.